to the What Really Happened radio show. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Art Off the Grid, and we're talking about that video of the former member of the Knesset who was interviewed on Democracy Now! And basically said that Israel just uses anti-Semite as a trick to shut down discussions in America that are critical to Israel, for which Israel doesn't really have a valid answer. And she did go on to say, in Europe, they use the Holocaust. If anybody in Europe is criticizing Israel, they go, Holocaust, Holocaust, Holocaust. And those Europeans who've been brainwashed into reacting to that word, the way Americans in the 1950s were brainwashed into reacting to the word commie, would just shut up and go along with whatever Israel was saying. Art?
Music Artie, in the background.
Yeah.
I heard music in the background, so I knew. But I knew that was going to be a short segment. But anyway, she went on and she made reference to how they used the word Holocaust in Europe, and just as they use anti-Semite here. But she also went on, and I'm going to kind of paraphrase because I don't remember the exact quote, but she said, but it's okay because, you know, there are some really brilliant people in Israel, and, you know, they have power and money and the media and other things like this, and that their attitude is, my country right or wrong, you know.
What a contemptible lie.
My country right or wrong, and that they're not ready to hear criticism, and so they will use this to blame anyone who criticizes Israel for whatever they might happen to do, and by bringing up the Holocaust and bringing up anti-Semitic as a way to demonize these people, that's how they justify what they do to the people in Palestine. Now, I mean, if that's not clear indication of exactly what these people think, I mean, you justify what you do to Palestine.
It is a very fanatical, it's a fanatical point of view, one that does not entertain the possibility of self-error. I think according to the diagnostic manual that's put out by the American Psychiatric Association, that would be considered clear signs of mental illness.
Yeah. But you know, Mike, I mean, this is typical of these people, and I don't understand why anybody would be surprised at this kind of behavior. But you know, when I think about this, and I think about how they're demonizing Hawking, and I mean, after all, he's Jewish, so he must be a self-hating Jew, and Einstein must have been a self-hating Jew because of his criticism, which kind of makes me wonder, Mike, are you a self-hating? I'm sorry, I couldn't say that.
I'm not self-hating at all. And, period. End of discussion.
And
okay.
And that's something else I've noticed too, man. There's a lot of people out there demonizing you just because of your Jewish heritage. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. Mike Rivero is one of the most outspoken people I have ever listened to who speaks against Israel. How can you call him a Zionist, elitist, Talmudic Jew?
No, they're grasping at straws. They're grasping. It's just like with Stephen Hawking screaming he's an ignoramus and making fun of his wheelchair thing. And by the way, a clarification, I'm not Jewish. I never have been. Okay, I have a Sephardic ancestry. Rivero is a Sephardic name. I was raised Congregationalist. It didn't stick. They gave me a Bible. That was their mistake. I read it, and I'm an atheist. So I'm not Jewish.
Well, I'm not atheist, but I don't follow any specific religion or culture. I like to think of myself as just a very spiritual individual who looks to a number of different doctrines for guidance.
That's a very good approach. That's kind of the way Claire sees herself.
Yeah, I keep it very simple. I like to think of myself as, you know, I believe that there is something out there that created everything and everyone, but I'm not willing to try to identify it because, you know, I'm not one of those who stand up and say, I'm right and my way is the only way and anybody who disagrees with me is going to hell. I'm not trying to go there because I think there are, you know, Buddhists.
Death to fanatics. Death to fanatics. Okay, we got to take a commercial break. Thank you for the call. We got to take a commercial break here. My philosophy is I am not waiting for the imaginary playmate in the sky to make the world better. If there's going to be a better world, we have to do it ourselves. We'll be right back after these commercials.
For many years, coffee lovers have learned that for the freshest coffee, you need to roast your own beans. Unfortunately, that usually meant paying more per pound for coffee than you could get it at the local grocery. Those wanting to store rich coffee for long-term use have been frustrated with the lack of quality coffee available with a long shelf life. So we usually settle for brand name coffee, either ground or instant. But now we have another solution. Canned green coffee beans. Green coffee beans have not been roasted. And since the bean is not cracked yet, the shelf life is many years longer than roasted or ground coffee. Due to the way it's packed, you can expect these to stay fresh for 20-plus years. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order your canned green coffee beans. A single can is only $11.94. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. CampingSurvival.com.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
They're stealing down on Wall Street and in Washington, too. You know, it makes me wonder, what's a guy on Main Street to do? I've always tried to be an honest, upstanding kind of guy. But I must admit lately, I thought about giving something else a try. Oh, I want to be a pirate. I want to sail the seven seas. Yeah, I want to be a pirate. I want to do just what I please.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're going to go back to the phones. Dan in Oregon. Aloha, Dan. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Thank you, Mike, for accepting the phone call. I agree with you. It's very unlikely that the Congress and House would impeach Obama. But I'd like to get your idea. All this scandals that are coming to fruition, as well as false flags and everything else, is that I think looking for a third term.
I think the dog has an opinion about my show. Anyway, real quick, what's your question?
The question is this, do you think Obama, since he does the unthinkable, is really looking at the possibility of not only declaring martial law, but to terminate the elections based on martial law and still continue as president into a third term? And that's my question.
You know, anything is possible. We're going to let you go here because the dog is obviously not happy that I'm on the air right now. Anything is possible. We can't rule anything out. The nation as a whole is all of a sudden having to confront an administration and indeed an entire federal government that is fraught with corruption and criminality. And again, because these people inside the Beltway in Washington, D.C. don't want to give up that party, anything is possible. We know that even before these scandals started erupting, we saw a clear pattern to try and attempt to disarm the American people, take away the Second Amendment, take away our right to say no. And so at this point, anything is possible. I wouldn't rule anything out. I think it's very, very possible that because of these new scandals, we could see another false flag attack to try and reignite the war fever. We're seeing all of the allies of Obama are out there in a full court press trying to make this go away. In fact, I was just looking at this article at Huffington Post where they're saying, oh, Benghazi's just a witch hunt. It's just politically. You don't need to look there. And, of course, we've already come to the understanding that Huffington Post has, in recent times, become one of the gatekeepers here in the independent media, which is why we don't pay a lot of attention to them any longer. But as far as what they could do, Obama and his minions are going to do whatever they believe they can get away with. The problem being their judgment in these matters appears to be severely clouded, because certainly I think the reason the Department of Justice sent that memo to the Associated Press was they believed it would chill the corporate media. And the response seems to be very much the opposite. Everybody is angry in the corporate media and outside the corporate media as well. And so this has backlashed on them. I think, clearly going back 2 years ago, I think the Obama administration actually believed the public would believe that they got Osama bin Laden and that they would fall for these very poorly made fake photos they flooded all over the internet. And that was obviously a bad call. And as I keep saying, we know that 10% of the American people are on these SSRI prescription antidepressants. They fog your decision-making ability, let alone the mass violence and suicide. We have people who are on these antidepressants who just engage in bizarre behavior that they can't explain. And we may presume that at least 10% of our federal government are on these medications, and it is screwing up their ability to think clearly. Now, during Obama's first term, there was actually a story that came out saying he was dealing with depression, and so he may be on these medications, and that is one of the scariest things right now, because he may decide to turn those little the little keys in the missile silos, and he thinks it's a great idea, and of course it isn't going to be. And after it's all over, he'll say, I have no idea why I did that. Just popped into my head, and I decided to go with that. Alrighty, let's see. I think we already let Dan go, and we're going to switch over to James in North Carolina. Aloha, James. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. I think we may be about the same age.
You have my deepest sympathies.
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm a former Watergate junkie. That was my freshman year in college that coming up, I guess, now on the 40th anniversary of the Watergate summer.
Yes.
This kind of brings to mind some questions I thought I'd want to, get your take on. When I went all the way through it. I mean, I just could not tear myself away from the TV screen during those hearings and read several of the books that came out afterwards. And it was revealed in a couple of them, I'm thinking it was probably in Leon Jaworski's book, that a lot of the Washington insiders, I mean the real insiders in Washington, knew very early in 1973, even before the formation of the special prosecutor, that there was no way Nixon could last. He would have to either resign or it would go on to impeachment and trial. And yet it took an entire year and a half before he finally was forced to resign. And that's one thing I've always thought was a real flaw in our Constitution, that they made it such a lengthy and ponderous process to ever get a president out of office, no matter how incompetent or criminal he proved to be, that he could just hang on month after month after month.
You need to remember, back in Nixon's administration, Congress was, only slightly less spineless than they are right now. And they started considering impeachment only when their own credibility and legitimacy was on the line. And that's when they started the impeachment process, when they finally had absolute obstruction of justice. And there was absolutely no question that he needed to be impeached and convicted. And Nixon, of course, pulled an end run by resigning because they didn't want that trial on the floor of the Senate, because somebody was going to ask, why, with Nixon's reelection, a study in foregone conclusions? Did they feel it was necessary to burglarize the Democratic headquarters at the Watergate Hotel? And the answer to that question would have delegitimized the entire government, because the Democrats had gotten hold of photos proving that those tramps who were arrested in Dealey Plaza during the JFK assassination were people who worked for Richard Nixon. E. Howard Hunt was there. I can't remember the name of the other two, but they were known Nixon associates. They needed to get those photos because the Democrats could have been in a position to blackmail Richard Nixon even if he won the White House. And that was the reason they went in there. And E. Howard Hunt led the burglary because it was his own gluteus was on the line on that. Later on, those same photos surfaced in a group called the Liberty Lobby, and E. Howard Hunt sued them for claiming that he was there in Dealey Plaza, and he lost the lawsuit when Liberty Lobby found a witness who placed E. Howard Hunt in Dealey Plaza at the time of the assassination. So that was the big secret. And remember, as I said earlier, in the great secrets that nobody will dare touch, everybody's protecting, even your worst enemy is going to protect that secret because it could bring down the entire government, and that ends everybody's party. And the Kennedy assassination was definitely one of the great secrets. 9/11 is a great secret, and that's kind of where we are right now. But Congress didn't want to impeach because they didn't want that question asked, and they were afraid Nixon would get right on the floor and just blow the whole Kennedy assassination wide open. That was one of the tactics that he used to stall impeachment, and it did drag on for a year, and it shouldn't have taken an entire year to do. And my guess is, this thing is going to drag on and on and on while Obama tries to figure out some way he can crank up World War III into overdrive so he can stand up there and say, yes, our government did wrong things, but we must put that past us now and unite behind the flag and go invade whoever's being invaded the next week.
Well, I entirely agree. I think the executive is got even more advantage today than they did 40 years ago.
Absolutely. The abuse of the executive orders. And remember, Nixon actually fired his special prosecutor, and that was unconstitutional, and they didn't even hold him to task on that one here. So we could see Obama basically, go the same path. He's clearly in Richard Nixon territory in his mindset, and this could get really, really ugly before it's all over. We already know they've been intimidating witnesses on Benghazi. They've been re-editing the official story of Benghazi before it went to Congress. There is already evidence of a clear cover-up here. We may see witnesses simply vanish from the face of the earth. There is nothing that is beyond these people. The question right now is not what is our government capable of. The question is, what is the government not capable of? What is too far for this government to consider? And at this point, the answer appears to be nothing.
I hope we don't find that out.
We may not have much of a choice on that one. The only thing that would really derail this is the collapse of the economy, and that would call off everything, including the war, and I'm willing to go down that route. Thank you for the call. We're going to switch over to Trey in Houston. Aloha, Trey. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Mike. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I didn't see it on your... Two things, the three things I want to talk about. The United States is a miracle country. I mean, we can get a guy with fresh blown off legs can ride around upright in a wheelchair without a tourniquet and not bleed to death. That's a medical miracle. The other one is this Bloomberg story. I don't know if you heard about that, where the reporters, there was a rumor, Bloomberg reporters had a rumor that somebody had been fired. So traders call Bloomberg the Bloomberg. It's the biggest data server in the world. I mean, people shop for stocks. They do picks. They do analysis on that system, and it all goes.
Okay, we got to take a break for commercials. Stay on the line, Trey. We're going to come back to you after these words from our sponsors.
The five self-evident truths of the Declaration of Independence are the standing definition of our republican form of government. Each unalienable right has an attached duty because we are all created equal. Like the right, the duty is permanent and non-transferable. There can be no paper to lien the right and no paper to waive the duty. Deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed does not mean, if you can think of it, you can consent to it. Truly, it names a condition where a right must be held without violation of its duty by both parties who can then consent. Our grand jury has been destroyed without the consent or the right. Return the grand jury customarily impaneled by the elected county sheriff and one where people can appear with information. McGilvery Machine Company, Reading, Michigan. Innovative research and development of prototype industrial equipment since 1988.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with Hawthorne, Glucosamine Chondroitin, Sea Cucumber, Colloidal Minerals, Superfam and Super Male Plex, Colon Enhancer, our top-selling liquid, Cal Mag Vitamin D, MSM Sulfur Capsules, and Elderberry Power Capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Why do over 50% of North Americans suffer from some form of chronic ailment? Could it be due to a toxic overload? It's time to take back your life. Get the lead out as well as the cadmium, mercury, and calcium. Extendivite is a garlic cayenne supplement with five other herbs that acts like a natural Drano, cleaning out the stored toxins, restoring your energy and youthfulness that we've lost. If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, or fear, then Extendivite is for you. Available in either capsules or liquid, you too can see why Extendivite is the number one heart drop available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite. Spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Women and children.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Trey in Houston, and you had a comment about Bloomberg.
It goes along with his AP phones being tapped and all this other stuff. What happened is these reporters had a rumor that somebody at one of those welfare banks, and can you imagine all the money NYC gets for hurricanes, and but they get bonuses after they get money from us, but they 144 billion bonus. But anyway, these reporters at Bloomberg heard a rumor that somebody had been fired, and they went down to the webmaster at Bloomberg, the guy who can, and they called it the Bloomberg. It's a massive system. It's a pretty good system. And they went down there, and they got the login records for this guy that was in their rumor, and then they called him and asked him about it. Well, how come he hasn't logged in for 5 days? Now, you can think, okay, that's just a simple, did he log in or not? But if you think about it, you know.
Okay, Trey,
yeah.
I'm having a hard time following you, and I think our listeners are too. What is it you're trying to tell us?
I'm trying to tell you that a private database, a private data service, Bloomberg, that every bank in the world uses, the reporters for Bloomberg went and asked the webmaster for that database for the login schedule of somebody that was in a rumor that had been rumored to have been an executive that had been rumored to be fired from some investment bank.
Trey,
you follow me?
Trey, you're not making any sense. I'm sorry. I'm going to let you go here, because when you say the word rumored four times in a row, and remember, effective communications is because your listener or your reader doesn't know what's in your mind. It's called writer's occlusion or speaker's occlusion. And so effective communication is you briefly tell people what you're going to tell them, then you tell them in detail, then you sum up and say, this is what it means. And if you just start wandering around with all these little bits and pieces and it doesn't seem to make any sense, well, I'm sure the government will hire you to write the next Warren report, because that's how that was organized. But I'm sorry, Trey, but I had no idea where you were going or what you were trying to say here. Now, a couple of stories that are coming up. The spin cycle is cranking up. The propaganda corps is on overtime, double time, triple time right now. The White House is now admitting, this is coming out of B4in.info, the White House is now admitting they knew of the IRS scandal, but did nothing while it was going on. So Obama's statement that he only learned of it last Friday, that he made public on the record yesterday, is now no longer operational. And their new spin is that the IRS apology for targeting activists is not evidence of guilt. There's no there, depends on what the definition of is. We've heard this kind of weasel wording before. They're talking like lawyers, and they're not talking like Americans. Now, the other spin that's coming out now, and we're seeing this start to appear all over the place, is that because these patriot groups and Occupy and Tea Party were espousing positions that were not in support of the government, that it is the IRS's job to give these entities additional scrutiny. That's the new spin. The IRS is just doing their job, targeting protesters and political dissidents. And no, it isn't. The IRS is supposed to be about generating revenue for the government. And this specific targeting of these political groups is a violation of the Equal Protection Clause of the United States Constitution. So the propagandists are getting really desperate now. And the whole argument of this whole story, and let's say this came from RIMF.com, where they're basically saying that, yes, anybody who challenges the government ought to be due extra scrutiny by the IRS and the FBI. No, we are due no scrutiny at all until we have committed a crime. And so far, speaking out in protest to government malfeasance is still protected speech under the First Amendment to the Constitution. As that other caller said, it's a bill of rights. It's not a bill of suggestions. Now then, getting over to Europe and what's going on over there, the economic news continues to be just horrible. And we understand why. When you have a private central bank issuing the public currency as a loan at interest, debt grows faster than available money supply. It is by design. It is a pyramid scheme. It's a Ponzi scheme, and sooner or later it must crash. And because global banking has tied all of these private central banks together, they are on the verge of collapsing all together at the same time. I say good. The public currency has to be a public utility, not just another private money-making venture for the money junkies. Now, David Cameron is reacting to this growing movement in Great Britain to get out of the European Union. He's obviously pro-EU, pro-globalism, and he's saying, oh, it's very strange that people would want to leave the European Union. How could anybody not want to be in the European Union? Well, why don't you take a look at countries like Greece and Cyprus and Spain and Portugal and see what's happened to them because of the blessings of the European Union. Apparently, Cameron is now getting ready to submit his own bill for a referendum. Great Britain's been talking about holding a public referendum about staying in the European Union. Cameron has absolutely condemned it. Now he's writing his own, which we may presume contains certain little trapdoors and loopholes and back-channel things that will allow him to keep in the EU regardless of what the British people want. Got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
What will you do without freedom? That's the question the American Freedom Party is asking as a high-tech surveillance state continues to be constructed in the one-time land of liberty. Through methodical gradualism over many years, the United States has been hollowed out economically and morally. The Republican Party is little more than a partner in crime to the open globalism and cultural Marxism of the Democrats. Both parties support the offshoring of American industry and jobs, open borders, endless wars of aggression all over the world, and slavish obedience to Israel and to the banksters and gangsters of Wall Street. The American Freedom Party is guided by the sole principle of supporting what's good for America and Americans. The American Freedom Party rejects the archaic liberal conservative paradigm in favor of an outspoken advocacy of freedom and liberty that rings true to America's traditional values and way of life. The hour is late, but America can yet survive and begin to thrive again if enough Americans act to regain their freedom. The alternative is too bleak to contemplate. Learn more about the American Freedom Party by going to AmericanFreedomPartyInfo.us. That's AmericanFreedomPartyInfo.us.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plans, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
What's really happening? Wouldn't you like to know? Tune in to Mike Sincero, Jimmy at the radio. Tired of the mainstream media lies. Listening to Mike Sincero, open your eyes. Tune in to Mike Sincero, Jimmy at the radio.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're going to go back to the phones. Rob in Minnesota. Aloha, Rob. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. Long time no call. I've been kind of been living parallel lives with you, so I've been trying to fight the battle of the bulge here, and the best time to go to the Y is during your show, so I have to catch the podcast instead of live, but I always try to catch it. So, but anyway... the reason I'm calling is everyone else, it seems to have fallen into their memory hole, but when Obama was first elected, wasn't the big scandal that all these car dealerships that had been car dealerships for a long time, the ones that didn't support Obama, that supported McCain, all of a sudden they lost their car dealership license?
as part of the auto bailout, they started, that was a huge thing. There was a lot of partisan targeting back then as well.
So that's basically kind of the same way, you know, they're doing the same thing, the IRS against the Tea Party people. It's, you know, partisan focusing on your...
And it's not just confined to the IRS. I mean, political blacklistings. I mean, I've been blacklisted Hollywood twice now. I don't know if that's a record or not, but I wear it with pride.
And with, you know, with now they're saying, well, the gun ownership list will be... you know, like the no-fly list, you'll just find yourself that you're on it without that you can't own a firearm or you can't buy ammo because you're on this list. And, well, we're not exactly sure why, but could it be that, well, you're a, you know, you're a loyal Tea Party or you're a loyal Republican, and therefore they've determined that you shouldn't be able to get ammo anymore?
Yeah, well, I mean, these lists are completely unconstitutional. People just get put on them. I remember not too long ago when Barack Obama was going out to the major banks and saying, please don't do business with gun dealers and gun manufacturers any longer and just starve them for operational capital. Turned out most of the gun makers are pretty much self-funded at this point in their operations, and a lot of them are now moving from the anti-gun states to the pro-gun states, which are passing all kinds of tax incentives to get those jobs to move into their states. So it's it was a failed policy, and it was rather brain dead to begin with.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Say, I remember back during the Nicaragua Contra hearings, the only television station I could get, they had the hearings on, you know, and I was inside working on my floor, tearing it up and replacing it. And so, yes, I remember George Shultz standing up there, and he looked just as nervous. You know, he would have been a good candidate as a spokesperson for Depends diapers, the way it looked like. But I just thought he would have made a perfect Sergeant Shultz. I know nothing, and I have
no recollection. Is there something in the water in Washington, D.C. that all these people are suffering from Alzheimer's disease and can't remember yesterday?
But I also remember at the time I just wanted somebody to just say, book 'em, Dano.
Oh, well, we all wanted to see that. And the problem is we sat on our butts and we relied on Congress to do its job, and it really didn't. It was just another, yes, people did bad things and so many are to blame. It would be unfair for us to prosecute any one of them, and the usual song and dance. And the same thing's going to happen here again. It is a waste of time for the American people to rest on their butts and wait for Congress to do the right thing. Congress has never done the right thing.
And fast.
They absolutely haven't. What we need to do is, and I'll let you talk in a little bit, but I want to make this point here. We're already seeing a full court press in the propaganda coming out of the White House. They're, as I said in the last segment, they're saying that, well, the IRS's job is to specifically target these political opponents of the administration. No, it isn't. And that was a big deal, of course, with Richard Nixon's enemies list and why it was unconstitutional for him to be doing that. And now they're saying basically, yeah, you know, it's just a witch hunt. And the White House has actually come out and admitted they did know this was being done. And they're saying the fact that the IRS has apologized does not really constitute legal proof of guilt. So they're falling back on lawyering talk to try and get out of this mess. But the American people, by and large, the majority of them are not lawyers. They expect straight talk from the government. They expect the government to be truthful, transparent, and honest, and they're not getting it. And the longer it goes on with this lawyer talk as a substitute for a clear explanation, the more and more the people are going to be suspicious. Our opportunity right now, those of us in the independent media, those of us in the Patriot Movement, is to use this opportunity where even the corporate media is talking about all these scandals to go back to all of our friends and family who are sort of on the fence of whether or not they could trust the government and say, look, I hate to say I told you so. Actually, I rather like it, but I did tell you so, and get people to look past the scandal at what is going on behind the scenes, going past, you know, what really happened in Benghazi. What does it mean when we have a Nixon clone sitting in the White House with an enemies list using the IRS to target people? And I'm already seeing all across the net all these articles about how the 16th Amendment wasn't ratified are starting to pop up all over the place. The Sullivan versus United States case where Judge James C. Fox says on the court record the 16th Amendment wasn't really ratified. All of this stuff is starting to percolate up, and people are paying attention to it now.
Yeah, I'm kind of noticing, though, too, it's still split on party lines, you know, and so the point I was going to make before, you know, because I get all the Republicans tell me, oh, yeah, fast and furious, Benghazi. And I'm going, look, fast and furious is just the same policy that's been going on, you know, both parties, you know, are involved with it. Before, you know, Fast and Furious was Gunwalker, Gunrunner. It goes all the way back to Nicaraguan.
Yeah,
contract.
Well, it's been an ongoing thing. I've been studying all this stuff for 20 years. But for those people who are out there who are defending Obama because of their party affiliation, I want to remind you all of something. Once before in history, there was a political party that demanded your loyalty to the party above your own sense of what's right and wrong, and those guys were all wearing swastikas. Do you want history to remember you as being in that same category? Or are you going to exercise your sense of moral outrage and your own knowledge of what is right and wrong and what is America? Or are you going to sell all of that so that you can go on waving your flag and saying, I'm a member of this party. See, I'm an important human being. I have a flag and a button.
A movie that I've been recommending people look at, because it's kind of fun and it kind of shows the rise of the Nazi Party, is a movie. I can't remember how old it is, but it was called Swing Kids.
Never saw it.
Oh, it's pretty good. It's about, you know, the guys that were following American jazz and the big band dancing while the Nazis were coming to party. So it chronicles the lives of these high school kids, how they drift to either side of that, you know, political shift.
These days, I avoid movies with Nazis in them. I'm totally burned out on it. We've all been raised with constant saturation: Hitler, Nazis, Hitler, Nazis. You know, when I was actually asked to review the movie Shutter Island by Martin Scorsese, and the instant he started parading Nazis at us, I said, that's it. I do not like this movie. And I don't, you know, I'm tired of it. I am tired of it. I'm tired of this. Does Hollywood not have any other storyline left in it other than Nazi, 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 Hitler, 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 terrorist, 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 Muslims bad? That seems to be the entire. No wonder filmmaking is leaving Hollywood and going out to the rest of the world.
I agree 100%. The only thing I try to tell people when they ask me, why are you doing this? Why do you care? And I said, well, geez, you know, if you were growing up in Germany and you knew something was wrong, you know, what would you do about it? And, you know, of course, since that time, you know, I'm talking about when my brain was in a different, you know, mindset where I realized that we've been told a lot of lies about World War II that I drank the Kool-Aid before. I was on, you know, I had the normal schooling and everything, and so I believed all the Holocaust stories. Now, after Republic Broadcast, you know, now I have a lot of questions to ask, but I have to go out and deal with the general public, and so that's my only reply when they ask, you know, why am I doing what I'm doing? It's because this is the greatest experiment that mankind has ever had. This country is only a couple hundred years old plus. And it's the first time that tyranny didn't rule the world, and we don't have to be serfs under a tyrannical government. You know, we can.
Well,
go
they're
back.
Trying to get us back. They're trying to get us back to there. I have a lot of people who ask me why I do what I do, especially considering what it has cost me and my wife in terms of material comfort. And of course, at my age, it's not like I have all that much of a life to worry about in the
right
future.
There.
But I view it as the highest moral imperative that we leave to future generations a better world than was left to us. And at this point, we're pretty much failing that. Got to let you go here. The phone lines are loading up. We're going to switch to Brian in Ohio. Aloha, Brian. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Just thought I'd share a phone call I had yesterday to the IRS commissioner's office.
Yes.
I called them and I told them I'd like to apologize for cheating on my taxes for the last 20 years. And they put me on hold, and they came back in a minute, and they said, is there anything else? And I said, well, I just wanted to get my point across. And the lady says, well, you've done that.
I love it.
I think everybody should call.
Oh, yeah. We're sorry.
That's all I got.
All right, that's a good one there. We're going to switch over to Alex in Texas. Aloha, Alex. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Mike. Good afternoon. I was calling because I for the past 2 weeks, I've been researching the entire history of World War II as I learned it, because I used to be a debate buff when I was in college, and World War II was a forte of mine. Well, what I went to school for is architecture. One of my first jobs out of school was designing a crematorium. And when I started, you know, looking into the specifics about how a human body burns, that's when I first started to question my own belief. about everything that I had been taught and everything I thought I was a buff about, you know, when it came to debate. And then I actually took my own money and I went to Germany and I, you know, went through all the non-guided tours. And I got to tell you, sometimes even when you say some things about the Nazis, I'm just like, does he know this, that this is not necessarily the way that we've been painted? I mean, propaganda, you know, it's just like how you say, you know, it's to form a perception about that specific time. It doesn't necessarily, it's about what's real right then and there and the actuality of the moment, not necessarily what you can back up with facts and evidence. And, you know, it's just, it's very funny that when you go back to trying to make your own decisions and you try to look at everything, you got more questions at every thread that you pull at than you have answers, you know, and it's just, you know, I speak German, I'm pretty fluent in it, and, you know, when I read old speeches and I listen to old recordings and I hear what the translations are, and I'm like, you know he's not saying that, right?
Yes.
And they're like, well, it's out of context, and I'm just like, okay, fine, no problem. But, I mean, I could show you, I could pull together plenty of videos and plenty of audio files that could show you that Hitler is saying, I don't want this war. You know?
Oh, yeah. And very well and documented. I mean, Roosevelt was actually having the U.S. Navy sink German merchant shipping in the Atlantic, trying to goad Hitler into a response, and Hitler refused to bite because he knew he did not want to do that.
I've also got some copies from some federal copies from the government of Germany that show that there was 26 different attempts by cable to broker peace before the 1940s. And actually, you know how, you know, I used to be a history buff, and I used to think that, you know, one of Hitler's biggest blunders was letting the expeditionary force go at Dunkirk. And come to find out, he was showing them mercy. And he was showing them that he didn't want to fight. He didn't want to annihilate anybody. But he couldn't.
No, he wanted the war shut down there. But you need to go back if you read the works of Winston Churchill. It's very clear in Churchill's own words, the goal of the war wasn't merely to defeat Germany, but to smash its industrial base and to force it back onto a private central bank. Because when Germany broke free of private central banking, they became an economic and industrial power against which the nations enslaved to private central banks couldn't even begin to compete. And that was the real, in fact, Churchill once said, if we can't get this war with Germany going, meaning World War II, we will have fought World War I in vain. It was all about maintaining British economic and industrial supremacy in the world against a nation that was not being hamstrung by a private central bank.
So with that notion, can I respectfully and humbly ask you for a favor? Please, can you be, whenever you speak about the Nazis, can you be a little bit more clear about exactly how you mean they were being oppressive and they were trying to do harm to people? You know, can you clarify?
Well, let me, we're coming to the end of the segment. I'm going to have to let you go here, and I want to be clear about it. I'm no fan of the Nazis, primarily because I don't agree with a lot of their policies, and ultimately they failed to be a government that benefited their nation, which is the ultimate crime here. When you are forced into a situation of war and confrontation, sooner or later, everybody's doing bad things on both sides. Firebombing of Dresden, the starvation of the German POWs. A lot of bad things happen in war, and the history books are written by whoever won. But ultimately, all of these wars were about preserving the power of the banking cartel, the private central banks. And if you go back, and I've got this article I wrote, all wars are bankers' wars. I'm going to reprise it to the front of whatreallyhappened.com so you can read it. This thing has gone viral around the world, and people are writing me saying, all of a sudden, this stuff makes sense that we have had to endure for 200 years. And it's all about protecting private central banking against anybody who dares to stand up and say there's a better way to run a nation's economy, whether that's Saddam Hussein selling his oil for euros, Muammar Gaddafi and his gold dinar, Congress refusing to renew the charter for the First Bank of the United States, Germany kicking out their private central bank and going with a state-issued currency. Every one of those incidents resulted in a war manufactured and crafted by the private central bankers. And they're trying to do it again to prop up their little Ponzi scheme. All righty, we're coming up. Boy, Manny, I'm going to need you to reprise the list of callers because I'm not sure exactly where we are. And when we come back from these commercials, we're going to go back to the phones.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us at 1-877-605-9200.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
There was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. We're going to go back to the phones. Jason in Ohio. Aloha, Jason. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, I wanted to jump back on the IRS thing and just say I agree with you completely
that Congress probably won't do anything.
That's right.
Because our local representative here, Mike Turner, has already come out and said, yes, it's horrible and it's wrong, but it's not illegal.
It is illegal. It is illegal. It's a violation of the Equal Protection Clause.
They're saying it's not. As a matter of fact, they're putting up hasty little bills to try to deal with it. I believe some guy named Jeff Slate in the Senate put up one, and Mike Turner put up one in the House to try to deal with this.
Well, there's really no dealing with it. If it was an impeachable offense under Richard Nixon, it's an impeachable offense under Barack Obama. We know these politicians are going to say whatever they think they can get away with, and we're wasting our time waiting on the Congress or even arguing with them. What we need to do is to shift this debate into the public, into the American people, and have them talking about it and not sitting on their rear waiting for Congress to tell them what to think.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, I mean,
okay.
Mike Turner's no friend of the Tea Parties anyways. All he does is funnel tax dollars into defense contractors over here by Wright Pat anyways. So.
All right, anything else?
Just let your listeners know that there's a drone command center over here in the Springfield Air National Guard base here in Ohio. That's all I got.
All right, well, thanks an awful lot, and we're going to let you go. And getting back over here to this situation in Europe, where David Cameron is saying, how strange that they'd want to leave the European Union. But the polls of the public, both inside and outside the European Union, is showing that the most people now have an unfavorable view of the European Union. They're watching how this European Central Bank and these money junkies have absolutely strip-mined the place. And because the vast majority of us are not money junkies, we see this as a bad thing. And so the polls are definitely against staying in the EU. The British want out of it. And all of these leaders of these European nations who have signed on to this whole union and globalization agenda, they're trying to figure out some way to continue selling this lemon to the people of their respective countries, and they're running up against a brick wall. And remember, when the European Union starts to come apart, when nations start breaking away and going back to their own currencies, when they start defaulting on all of that manufactured debt coming out of that European Central Bank, those credit default swaps, $90 trillion worth of them, sold by Wall Street, will start to come due. Wall Street does not have the money to pay those claims. It's a repeat of AIG, but on a much grander scale. Where's Wall Street going to get that cash? They're going to try and get it from you. That's why they want to take away your guns. Got to take a break for station identification. We'll be right back.